Do you find the being African-American has more advantage or disadvantage in the modern world?
It's a tough one.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Hey.
Yo, my man. They were asking me about the African-American experience. Maybe you could take this one.
Oh. Well, I find that the African-American experience for me has been, for the most part, very good. Although, I find it difficult to go into detail as I haven't had much desire to leave the house in a while.
We've become such homebodies.
Yes, but even when you go into the city, I've just had no interest. The chores have become my sanctuary. Get out.
Sorry, man.
Okay.
Get out!
Yo! Yo, chill, man.
Get out!
Chill! Yeah,
chill! Chill, man!
Chill!
Get the fuck out of here!
And welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this.
No, I fucked it up. This is Douglas.
What were you aiming for there?
I had no aim. I pulled back.
Right.
The arrow flew.
He went in hard, and then was just like,
yeah.
"I'm not.
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Coffee's done.
Yeah, I need another cup of coffee. This caffeine rush is coming down. Usually we start much sooner after I drink my coffee.
Andrew, he put sugar in his coffee, which I thought was cheating. I thought no sugar, no milk.
I mean, it depends on the type of person you are.
Are
you an iced tea or an ice cube?
If you are a weak bitch and you add sugar to your coffee.
Damn it, I got that sugar. What can I say?
Yeah. You're still Jamaican, unfortunately.
The question is, what gives him the bigger rush, the caffeine or the sugar?
The sugar? What are you talking about? Before we start this podcast, I'd just like to say I'm very happy that as the Women's World Cup has progressed, the level of football has gotten better. I was real worried at the start because there was some bad football.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think this year they expanded. So clearly they were like, we will have lots of rubbish sides.
Yeah, the gap between
the gap was
the good.
Like when you watch a Thailand versus the US, you saw it.
No, but that one, you're just like, listen, I get it. But there are some others where you're just like, boy, this doesn't even resemble football.
Oh, speaking of which, have you noticed that there is much less super glue in this than usual?
And I see that is very stable.
Yeah, you notice that my lamp is very stable. Yeah. Do you think there's a correlation between the two?
I can't see one.
I fucking super glued my lamp together this week. Amazon is the worst.
That's that Yankee ingenuity.
Amazon sent me a lamp that did not fit together, so I super glued it together.
I mean, it's modern art.
Wait, has the podcast started?
It was supposed.
Yeah, this is the podcast.
This is the podcast.
Hey, yes. All right, you just told the world about your Amazon lamp.
Exactly.
Let me get you into the podcasting mood.
Okay.
This week, some asshole said, you know how Damien hates the Butcher Boy more than he hates most things on earth? What if we get that director to make him another movie. And mm-hmm. Andrew took one look at it and went, I still hate Damien. Uh-huh. And I am going to prove it. He always doubted whether we're still friends. I will show him we're still friends. And he chose, what is the name of this movie? I don't even remember.
I don't even remember what
Andrew,
what's
his name?
Greta.
Oh, Greta. Greta. Right. Greta and the three handbags.
Right.
Did you find them?
I guess she's been finding bags around the city. I was hoping someone brings them back to her. And you did. Oh my God, it's her. Just let it ring. I saw the bags, Greta. And I never want to see you again. She's really freaking me out. This is not a problem.
Public area, her rights are protected.
Why are you doing this?
Greta is a movie about a old woman
who lived in a shoe.
What name Greta? And she's lonely.
Is the old woman named Greta?
Yes.
What's the 12-year-old name?
Chloe Moritz. Is her name.
Her name is Child.
Right. Yeah. Her name is Who Cares?
And the other one is Child Number 2.
No, the other one is Roommate.
Yes. It is it is protagonist and roommate. Greta is old, as I said. Not that old, but old enough to be lonely. And like all lonely women, what she does is buy handbags.
So all I heard a while ago was Akon? Yeah.
One point to Douglas.
Podcast editor's note. Please insert soundtrack.
Well done.
I take no commands from you.
She bought herself some handbags and went, I know how to get friends. I'll trap younger women by leaving my handbags about. A story as old as time. I've read so many stories about women leaving handbags in public areas.
That's not true. This story is not as old as Aladdin. Stop it.
Aladion, sir.
Aladion, yes.
How dare you?
All of zero people will get that joke.
That's perfect. This is not for them. So Greta starts leaving handbags around the place because she wants to trap young girls. You'd think it would be for sexual gratification. Mm-mm. Too obvious. She just wants to teach them how to play the piano. Who knows?
And make cookies.
And so roommate and protagonist. Protagonist works in a restaurant. She's going home. None of this is relevant to the movie. She's going home. She sees the bag and decides to take the bag home. Roommate says, let's steal all this shit and keep the bag. And protagonist says, absolutely not. I will return this bag. And so she does. And she and Greta become fast friends because Greta is very charming. A charming old lady who's nice. And as the movie progresses, protagonist finds out that Greta, she has a scheme where she's capturing these young ladies by getting them to return her bag. And so she says to Greta, I'll have nothing more to do with you. And then the movie dissolves into the most cliched waste of time that I've spent in quite some time. This movie sucks. I try to remember that I like Chloe Moritz. Except she's making it extremely difficult by only being in bad movies. I loved her in Kick-Ass. That was 40 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
You see her now and you're just like, all right, she's an adult. Her face looks the same.
She still looks like she's 12, but I think it's because she's still real young. I think she's only like 21, 22, you know.
Right. He's like, oh, that's that face that I remember as a child. Yep. But her body's no longer a child.
you right there, you sounded yes. like a dirty old
man. I did that on purpose. Except unlike Arya, she's not awesome anymore. She does not get a pass. I watched this movie, and even though I was forewarned by, ah, come on, this movie sucks.
This movie. Wow.
Speaking of low bars, Greta sucks. Also, don't watch this movie. The only performance worth looking at is Greta's performance. And even though the movie is
amazing.
And even though the movie is named after her, she is not the main person in the movie, which seems like a waste of my time. Everybody else in this movie sucks. And they are not trying hard enough at all. Especially when you see them juxtaposed to Greta. Like, she's doing her best, but the rest of this movie just isn't holding up. Now, is this movie better than Butcher Boy? Of course it is. For him to have made something worse than that would have been so spectacular, I'd have to like the movie just out of respect. But that is not the case. This movie is just trash.
To do that, you need to have intent. Right? And you yeah, need to right. go for it.
Like, he'd have to go out of his way. It's just like, listen, I'm going to make Dogtooth 2 and kill the game. But that's like, this movie is, it's just not that good. Like, Greta's performance isn't worth it because she's not in enough of the movie. And once they finally explained the backstory, I was just like, all right, you guys just need to just roll credits. I don't want to see any more of this. And that final shot, the balls. Of them.
I love
how they think they're Christopher Nolan. And, you don't get to do this.
The thing about it is, right? It's another situation where they think that they're fooling me.
Yeah. They think they've made a good movie.
Come on.
And I've earned
Come on.
This, you know, ambiguous ending. No, you haven't. You made garbage. And what you need to do is.
It's all like, in the sequel. All the money right. is in the sequel.
The ending was not ambiguous at all.
What they need to do is, when you make a movie like this, before the credits start, there should just be an apology. Like, listen, we have eyes.
Dear viewer, this letter is from the studio.
Yes.
We saw this movie too.
Right.
We apologize in advance, but we need to at least make back some right. of the money.
Thank you for supporting us. Like, we saw it. We saw this movie. Please don't take it as a mark against our studio. In the future, we'd love for you to continue supporting us, but we know.
We've told Neil Jordan to fuck off. He will never work with us again.
We're giving him... the DC cinematic universe.
But yeah, Damian, you're absolutely right about this movie. So when it came out, I remember there was a trailer. And I don't watch a lot of trailers, but for some reason I did actually watch this one. Probably because not only did it come out in the theaters, but it eventually showed up in my Google thing. And sometimes I just go through and see what's out there. I watched a trailer and immediately said to myself, oh, it's that kind of movie. I don't need to waste my time watching it. When Andrew came on this podcast, I think it's 2 or 3 weeks ago, and just spewed the most exultant praise about this movie. I remember thinking, yeah, he's wrong. Then he had the balls.
The cojones.
The cojones. The temerity. Even, to the put audacity. This in the...
Let's just keep going.
Andrew, we're going to need to cut that last one out. I don't think we have the copyright for that.
I'm sorry. Oh, that's the thing. Not trademark.
To put it on the list for us to watch, I said, hear what? He is very confident. Mm-hmm. This means this movie might actually be good. And
this means war.
And if you notice, Damien, I started watching the movie and paused it immediately to send out a preemptive message for Arkhamon to, because I was watching it and it went by and then something clicked. I said, hold on. And I rewound it and it said a Neil Jordan film. And I said, I know that name from somewhere. I checked. It was indeed Neil Jordan of Butcher Boy fame.
Infamy.
Infamy. Sorry. Yes. Infamy. He is infamous.
Yes. oh, yes, he is.
And this movie is not Butcher Boy. It is not at those levels. It probably is also better than The Arrow.
Again, these bars that we're asking this movie to clear seem but aggressively low.
This movie is exactly what the trailer promised me. It is, I don't even want to call it boring. It is boring, but I don't even want to call it that because
it is that.
It's more aggressive than boring. Right? Yeah. It aggressively.
It is actively wasting your time.
Yeah. It, and you know what too? It's also, as I started watching it and realized more and more that it was what I thought it was, the aggressiveness came from Andrew actually telling me to watch this movie. So I kept mumbling under my breath. Goddamn, Andrew. Why is Andrew, you know, making me watch these things? This is just a run-of-the-mill movie about somebody kidnapping somebody or somebody putting themselves in a situation that some people might call horror. Some people might call maybe suspense. But at the end of the day, this movie is bad, right? It has bad acting. And you guys say that Greta is good. I don't know because everything around her is a trash fire.
Yes.
And it's hard to, you know, the glare from the fire.
But you've always found that difficult.
Yeah.
To appreciate performances when you're actively hating a movie. I accept that from you. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's... I mean, Chloe Moretz alone.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, Damien.
She's... Does she know that her face doesn't emote? Like, is she aware of that? I cannot feel sorry for someone if her face doesn't move.
There was nothing, absolutely nothing good about this movie. It did everything that you think it's going to do. It did everything that you think it's going to do poorly. And it just never gave up. And it gets to an end where... You know what this movie felt like? Have you ever watched... So there is a European version that's apparently good. And that Andrew loves.
Mm-hmm.
There's an American version that everybody hates and that I watched first.
Mm-hmm.
So I never loved the European version.
All right.
Called The Vanishing.
No.
About like some guy.
That movie is
kidnapping.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You hear?
Yes.
You hear him and it's rubbish?
Yes.
So The Vanishing is a similar kind of movie about kidnapping somebody. So in the beginning, a guy and his girlfriend are out on honeymoon or something like that.
Which is why you shouldn't go on honeymoon.
There you go. And she gets kidnapped.
Of course she does.
And the whole movie is like, it skips to the future. He's devolved into like this crazy person because she's left.
His wife got took and he couldn't find Liam Neeson.
Exactly. But he gets the opportunity to find her. And the European version ends differently from the American version. Mm-hmm. The American version feels like this. This feels like the American version of Vanishing, where in the end, there is just something so ridiculous that happens that essentially brings the movie back from the dark side into the light.
Right.
That makes no sense. And that is just, that's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because as I was watching The Vanishing, the European version, Andrew was watching it with me. The whole way through, and Andrew can attest to this, I just kept saying, I've seen this movie before. I've seen this movie before. And I had to stop and look it up because I couldn't take it anymore. Right. Because at end, I was like, no, that's not how it ended.
Yeah.
There was a big saving thing. Mm-hmm. And
you were right.
Yeah, I was right.
You saw it before.
I saw the American one before. But yeah, this movie has that where you can't, or like Brazil, you can't end the movie bad, right? People can't be crying at the end. They have to be smiling.
Yes.
And that's what this movie did. And I was upset with even how they did it, because they did it in such a way that, you know, they obfuscate, or they think they're obfuscating what's happening, mm-hmm. when you damn well know what's happening. And Neil Jordan, I think you must have done one good movie sometime, because people...
You have no evidence of that.
People keep giving him movies to make. So there has to be a reason. There has to be. But you know what? Neil Jordan, go fuck yourself and fuck this movie. Andrew, let's hear how much you fucking love this pile of turds.
Oh, guys, I'm upset. Because you don't see what I see.
You know
you
we
don't
do not.
See, you don't, that you is don't correct. See this, you don't see this beautifully put together 90-minute piece of nonsense, ridiculous horror thriller in which Isabelle Huppert is allowed to just run amok throughout this movie. I know that Chloe Grace Moretz and...
Hubbard?
And Huppert... Did I Hubbard. Say Hubbard? Did I say no, Hubbard?
No, you should
you
have.
You should have.
Excuse me. Your job may come, sir.
There's a T in that name, sir.
I know you've been in a French country for a while, but you, sir, are Jamaican.
It Andrew, it's Colgate, not Colgar. Right? it's Hubbard. And isn't it a P in there? It's not P.
Then why don't we say Chloe?
Hubbard.
Why we don't say Chloe then?
For the same reason we don't say Strule. Mm-hmm. It's school.
Yes.
Come on. Come on.
Nice try though.
Yeah. So I know that Hit Girl and Roommate.
All right, fair enough.
Right.
Hit Girl and protagonist. Yeah. All right. Right.
Can I watch the Hit Girl and Roommate movie?
Yeah, it was called Kick-Ass 2. Nobody wanted it.
No, they did not.
Heat Girl and Roommate are awful in this movie. There was one scene in this movie that rewatching it was probably the most painful scene in this film, and it's the one in which Greta is stalking Roommate.
Yes.
Right? And watching that scene again, I'm legitimately watching it being like, cool, this is the piece we cut out. Like, unapologetically just said, no, this was a failing. Because... Maybe it's because Roommate is that much more awful than Hit Girl? Because Hit Girl is bad.
Yes.
But I think we can all agree that Roommate is a new level of awful.
No. I will disagree with this. Let me tell you why.
Because she doesn't do it as much?
That's one.
All right.
Two, Chloe Moretz is bad all the time. Can we agree to this?
When was Roommate good?
Hold on. Can we agree to
yes.
this?
Yes. Accurate.
At least Roommate, when she's being like, you know, happy and what and telling her how she's supposed to be, that you know, true. With her friends.
Right.
I'm not saying she's acting well. Yeah. I'm saying I'm believing
she was
it,
convincingly
right?
happy.
Yeah.
Fair point.
Mm-hmm. When she's talking about like whatever animals, you're like, I like that person, right?
Yeah. Chloe Moretz is truly the worst. All right. Douglas pointed out. I accept your judgment.
But Isabelle Huppert is just perfect in this movie.
Hubbard.
I love the build-up of her character. I love mm-hmm. the moment when basically the horror thriller reveal when they're like, yeah, she's doing this. And she just becomes a cartoon villain. And it's something that I like to see a lot more, because there are so many actresses out there who I feel are never given these parts, and they're just always grandmothers. They're always the older lady who is having whatever happened in her life. As we talk about Olivia Sayers films and whatever, which is where I generally would see Isabelle Huppert existing.
Yeah. Olivia Munn has it hard.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But this movie, I feel like it just felt like a dumb, ridiculous horror film for me to just lean into Isabelle Huppert dancing around bullets. Literally dancing around bullets. Right? And I'm not saying this is the best film of 2019, but did I enjoy myself with this movie? A shit ton, yes.
Were you drunk at the time?
I don't want to comment.
All right, cool. Did you watch this movie alone?
The first time, yes.
Did you enjoy it the first time?
A lot.
Oh, all right, this is... this is not playing into my scenario at all.
Yeah, because it's easy to enjoy a movie with...
Yeah.
Damien, you and I have done it before. Wanderlust is a prime example.
That is literally what I thought.
Damien,
happened.
I still have fond memories of
the I phone know booth. I like that movie.
No, The Phone Booth.
Because you watch it...
I watched it with somebody and made fun of it the whole way through. I love that movie.
And you're just like, this movie's perfect.
Yeah. I never want to watch it again because ever then again. I'll know what it really is.
Barely a movie.
That's a pretty good movie. The Phone Booth.
You're a drunk person. Anyways. Andrew, listen. If the movie were better, then I would enjoy... Listen, I know Greta did work. I know it.
And also, here's the thing, right? So, how you describe your love for this movie is fine. I think myself and Damien actually appreciate that because we are very much for that kind of enjoyment. Here's the thing. This movie doesn't try to be that.
Yeah,
it takes itself seriously. Yeah. It doesn't think that. And sometimes when it doesn't think it's that, it can go the other way, you know. But the problem is these guys are technically... The people behind the production are obviously technically good enough to not be bad at their job. So this movie
The first half of the movie tries to feel like it's a serious movie, right? Where it's like the cat and mouse game of, oh, is she going to step over the line? Oh, the little girl is afraid. And all sorts of shenanigans. But I think... when it hits that back half, like, I'm just in love. From the minute that there's a scene where she enters the restaurant and she is being served.
Yes.
And she has that, I think that's the first time she really goes over the top. Like, not just like, I think there's a point earlier where there's the gum scene where you're just like, well, you know, that's bad and you can tell bad things are coming. But you don't know that it's going to go into cartoon villainy. Areas, but there once are... that dinner scene happens, like, I'm on board.
There was one section where I thought that the movie was going to turn, and it is when Greta was teleporting while following roommate. When she got onto the bus before her, I was just like, is this what this movie is? Are they just going to be like, oh no, she's an actual witch.
X-Men.
Right. Have any of you seen Good Omens yet?
Yeah, I told you about
it. Still haven't watched it.
I didn't remember. Right. Yeah. So, you know how I, like, once she was teleporting, I'm just like, if this is like Good Omens, then this can turn around this movie right quick. If she's just the devil.
Sounds like we can talk about Good Omens later. Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy.
This movie is a waste of a truly good for me and Douglas, more for me than for Douglas, because Douglas
trash fire.
Yeah, Andrew and I see where Greta is killing like she's just straight out biting on scenery, and it would have been fun to watch had the movie made even the lightest attempt. to be good? Like, this movie, it's just not entertaining. The story that is being told, listen, you can tell a cliche story if you execute it well. A lot of movies I love, it is about the execute. Like, I know where the story is going. I know what these characters are supposed to be. There's nothing new in there. There's nothing truly special or remarkable. But they've executed on it so well that you can't but enjoy yourself. Mm-hmm. This movie is not that movie. One person played hard. Everyone else was trash. And I didn't. I actively had a poor time watching this movie. This movie was infuriating. The only good thing about this movie is that it is an hour and a half. That it did not drag on for more time than it needed to. It was in and out in 90 minutes. Could it have been less? Of course, could have been zero, but that's not how movies work. But no one, listen. Andrew, remember when we talk about Men, Women, and Children? And both of you guys hate that movie. And I was the only person.
I can't remember.
I was the only person that was just like, I see what this movie is, and I like it. And you're just like, Damien, you've somehow threaded the needle. To enjoy, because
I feel like your justification had something to do with the internet.
Yeah, like you guys were like, oh, he is trying to say something profound about the internet and dangers of the internet. And what I saw was him looking at people who are overreacting and being dipshits because of the internet. And went, I know these people exist, and this is what these people deserve because you're idiots. That is what I saw that as more of a comedy, and you guys saw it as serious commentary, which if I had seen it as that, I get it. But that is not what I saw. And apparently I, and like one other person on earth saw it like that. This Greta movie is Andrew's Men, Women, and Children, where Andrew has somehow blocked out all, let's say, 60 minutes of Hit Girl and Roommates trash and just honed in on 30 beautiful minutes of Greta being Greta. But listen, I'm not on board with you, Andrew. You're a man on an island this time. This movie's garbage.
Well, you know, sometimes being right means being alone.
Yeah, sometimes being wrong means being wrong. Wait, were you related to Confucius by any chance? Because that was pretty profound.
We call him Fu, right?
Oh, that's okay.
We just call him Uncle Fu.
Okay, that's good. Racist, but good.
But yeah, that's Greta. I assume nobody really wants to talk further on this.
I mean, come on. Come on.
No, thank you.
So, I didn't really see that much this week, so I don't have that long a list. However, I did see two films, two very, very old movies.
Boom.
Yes, I got around to watching, finally, a couple of films by the Marx Brothers. I don't know if you guys have ever seen any films from these guys.
Communists!
the 30s. So, the first one I'll talk about is Monkey Business from 1931, which I won't say much to because the version I saw was actually an abridged version. It was, like, I went to go and see...
Andrew, I know that was unintentional, but that was an amazing review right there. just, I won't say much about it because it was an abridged version. That is
best. I didn't even think of it like that. Oh my God. So basically, I actually went to go and see Duck Soup, which I'll talk about in a minute. Yeah. And what they ended up doing at the showing is that they had this abridged version of Monkey Business that they just tacked on at the end, that they're like, here, you can watch more Marx Brothers. And they were talking about how back in the day when people did these home releases of some of these stuff, that they would then have editors recut this hour-long movie into like 15-minute chunks and just release a 15-minute version of the same movie. And this was Monkey Business. It was like an 18-minute version of this movie. And it was still fun, like watching these people just do ridiculous things. These movies, as I'll talk more in Duck Soup, I've learned is that Harpo Marx, while probably most men doing movies in the 30s depicting sexism and just general awfulness, is a hilarious motherfucker. Right? So yeah, Monkey Business, pretty fun. There's a joke with the four men in barrels just kind of popping out one after another, which kind of got me. Lots of physical humor as you expect from the 30s. But yeah, I enjoyed the 18 minutes version of this movie. And eventually I got around to seeing Duck Soup, which is supposedly one of their highlight films of their career. And it is amazing to see people this good at what they try to do, because it's so emblematic of their time, where you have Groucho Marx, who is just kind of riffing one-liners one after another, just unable to stop. Like, the movie is basically just punchline, set up and punchline one after another. People walk around just to say things to him so that he can hit punchlines one after another. And it is amazing to see. There's a point where he walks up to a man and a woman talking to each other and basically jokes him out of talking to the woman. Just kinda being like, there's one extra man here and I think it's you. And it's like, I can't do it justice, but it is amazing. And I'm upset I'm not upset, but it's fun for me to see these things now, because I mean, I've seen the cartoons and I've seen the homages and the copies of these characters over the year. The weird big black mustache and cigar man walking around just kind of jibing people. But I think the highlight for me with Duck Soup was Harpo Marx and his bits with the vendors, where he would just kind of have this running joke of upsetting the neighbor vendor by stealing his hat. And just, this is definitely comedy of its time, but oddly enough, whenever I go back to it as infrequently as I do, when it's done this well, I can't help but appreciate not just the comedy of it, but the technique, the whole architecture of how they choreograph these sequences. And you see also how things like this end up working up towards, say, a Jackie Chan kind of choreography when he does his comedy. I love this movie. I presume no one else here has ever seen this. So yeah, that's all I really have to say this week.
I love how you're describing this movie, because what you're doing is you're trying to diplomatically say, yes, racist, but it's still funny.
Yes, it's. I don't know if I've talked about this with you guys, but it's so upsetting to me when I watch older movies and then you see something like blatantly racist, and you know, watching that those people, it's not like watching Django Unchained, where Leonardo DiCaprio is playing a racist slave owner, and he's playing a part. These people probably believed like 100% everything that's going on.
Yes.
And whenever I see that, I get upset. Like, I legitimately go like, I just want these people to just all have white people in the movie and move on with their lives, and I can just enjoy the story and the jokes that are just the white people jokes.
Yeah. You're supposed to be upset.
Because it is 2019.
And things that used to fly in the past, we don't allow anymore because it's racist. The world sucks. I don't know if you know. It's not fun.
Have you ever seen this movie, Damon? You might have, because you were doing that whole list life many years ago.
So, I didn't see this one. I did see a couple of their movies. And what's always fascinating, you kind of touched on it. What was fascinating about watching these older movies, like from Amadeus and on up, is...
Sorry, what?
Amadeus.
So, you're comparing Amadeus, mm-hmm. in terms of old movies, mm-hmm. Amadeus, a movie that was done, in the 80s? 70s, maybe?
What movie am I thinking about?
Versus
Amadeus is 1984? From the fucking
20s? Or whenever this
no,
is?
No, man, there's a... What is the movie I'm thinking of? There's a movie about them construct. There's an old movie that I saw that was like from okay. the 20s.
Okay, all right.
Where it was basically stop motion with actors. clearly, I've forgotten the name of this movie.
Amadeus is the one about Amadeus.
I don't know what. Mozart. You know what it probably is? I probably made a dumb joke about Amadeus.
Uh-huh.
And no, because it's been so long.
By the way, Amadeus is a great fucking movie.
No,
it's
but hilarious. That is why I'm tying it to this.
Okay.
But what was
there
always
is
weird?
A movie they made called A Night at the Opera.
Sorry, Andrew, can you repeat that?
Yes.
There is a movie these guys made the year after, which came after Duck Soup, 2 years after, called A Night at the Opera. I don't know if this is the movie you're talking about, but hey.
I'm not sure. Anyways, my point was, watching those movies, I remember a lot of like Tom and Jerry cartoons
mm-hmm.
that have wholesale lifted parts of these movies. And I was just like, boy, that is a thing that doesn't happen in modern cartoons anymore. And I was just like, and it was weird watching it in real time, realizing that you know where this is going, but knowing 100% that you've never seen this movie. So it couldn't be that.
It's almost like Douglas watching The Vanishing.
Yeah, right. And so it's things like that that I appreciate both about those movies and also, weirdly, Tom and Jerry. Because, like, there's a lot of, based on today's standards.
I don't think that's weird. Tom and Jerry is... choice cinema.
Right, but based on nowadays standards, you wouldn't put a child in front of Tom and Jerry ever again. But watching these movies as an adult and like looking back at some like old Tom and Jerry episodes, especially now that they had to go back in and they're like, listen, this was of its time and we're taking out these things. I was just like, because when that whole thing started, I was just like, I don't remember Tom and Jerry being that bad. And then you watch it and you're just like, oh, they just thought all this was funny. And they were right. It's funny. Is it wholesome fun? It was when I was growing up. But by the end of... What probably happened is that this movie was probably towards the tail end of that list thing that I was doing. And by the end of it, it wasn't fun doing that list anymore. Because you...
If you'd watched Amadeus, it would be fun.
I think that is when I watched Amadeus. It's part of that list. But this has happened to me from time to time where if you only watch... good movies,
yeah.
Then two things happen. You no longer appreciate bad movies. And then your perception of what a bad movie is raised so high up where there's no more mediocre or middling movies. Everything that is not an instant classic that people wax philosophical over for years and decades instantly becomes bad.
And also, you'll watch a lot of bad movies because people forget that good and important are two different things.
Right. But those are easy to spot. That is a good thing about watching all those movies. But when a movie isn't good, but it's talked about as good, you're just like, this movie's trash. I don't know who thought this was good. But remember how much shit we got when we reviewed Citizen Kane? There's a lot more of those movies than I'll admit, I wasn't much sure enough.
I almost wanted to watch that movie again, actually. Mm-mm. But oh boy, did I hate that movie.
That movie is of our time. And that time is not now. I can hear Andrew secretly hating us on the other side. I don't give a shit.
I've been thinking the same to rewatch that movie. I haven't watched it since we talked about it eons ago.
But it's so good. Why would we be watching it all the time?
Rosebud!
So bad. Such a terrible movie. Oh, Lord. So
herein lies one of the dumb jokes of Duck Soup. Mm-hmm. Secretary of Labor.
Duck Soup. I mean, it's called Duck Soup.
It literally opens with a shot of ducks in a pot boiling. Right? Live ducks. But yeah, Duck Soup. I actually really did enjoy that movie. Like, I don't think I go over the line that a lot of people go into ridiculous love. But I enjoyed it a lot. So much so that I'd be interested to watch more Marx Brothers movies.
Duck Soup.
It's a pretty good name. So Douglas, me and you have some conversations to be.
We do. And I'll just talk quickly about my stuff because there's not a lot to talk about. I have continued on the James Bond journey. I've reached now, I'm finished with Moonraker. Mm-hmm. Which is well into the Roger Moore era. And I'm realizing more and more that Roger Moore just isn't my guy. sure, I appreciate some of the camp. And there are some of them that I really like. I grew up with James Bond and grew up watching all of these things. I mean, Live and Let Die is fucking fantastic. But yeah. He's just
not.
He's the weakest Bond. Sad, but true. I'm in the middle of watching the one in Greece with the what is she, a gymnast? This is
true.
It's all right. Now we can move on. I also watched the Star Treks, the new ones,
mm-hmm.
because of course I like those movies. And
I like the first two a whole lot.
Yeah.
And was surprised when the world turned against it.
Uh-huh.
Like overnight it felt like.
Yup. And I never fully understood the hatred that came. And then apparently there was some sort of conference where the fans told the people to fuck off in the movie, and then Simon Pegg and the people in the movie told the fans to fuck off or something like that, and then everybody got upset. I don't care, that movie is still decent.
Is it that they didn't like, I understand them being upset because it isn't the thing they grew up with,
is it not?
But they made it a summer blockbuster movie. What did they think they were going
but
to
not
do?
Even just that, can you please explain to me why it isn't the thing they grew up with?
No, because apparently Star Trek was the smart one.
No, it wasn't.
That's what they say. They say that Star Trek was the smart one.
Oh, I've seen Star Trek.
You're looking at the wrong person.
There was a point where, if my memory serves me correctly, Worf, the Klingon, went through puberty at 500. And he like sneezed or something, or his face got red. I can't remember. It was dumb.
Douglas, I'm not the person.
No. Granted,
mm-hmm.
when I was young, I watched every goddamn episode of The Next Generation
mm-hmm.
and watched all of the movies. So please, crazy people who love movies, don't think I'm saying it's bad as a bad thing. But yeah, these new movies are no different.
I enjoyed them.
There's space, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the final frontier. The final frontier.
Karl Urban is in one.
Karl Urban is in all three. And he's fantastic. He's actually good in that movie, unlike other judgmental movies.
How dare you? How dare you?
But it's great. It has Simon Pegg playing Scotty, who, come on. If you don't like that, then you don't have a heart. Where is your funny bone? And in the last one in particular, you have, was it Alicia Vikander? I think it was her. Being very protective of her house, which, come on. Again.
Once I was able to see that movie properly, I did enjoy that movie.
It's great. I mean, it's...
Idris Elba was in it.
Yeah.
For some reason.
All right, let's move on. Right, Damien, I think you want to talk to me about something.
I watched me some Good Omens.
Ooh, look at that. How bad is this show now?
I would say the first episode did not fill me with confidence.
Yeah.
I like how it started with the Adam and Eve bit. There's a point where they gave Adam a flaming sword and a lion attacked him in the middle of the desert. And I was so happy just watching this stupid scenario and laughing. And so Good Omens, the basic premise is there's an angel and a demon that was sent to Earth in the beginning.
To have sex.
To not that at all. One to tempt.
Is this Preacher the prequel?
Yes.
That's basically. Exactly what this is. Except Preacher enjoys ultra violence and telling awful stories. This is not that. This is whimsical and fun and funny. And the two lead guys are so, like, they're so good. The chemistry is so good. It feels like cheating. There's episodes where clearly they just said to the two of them, have yourselves a time. And then the episode is over. You go, nothing happened in this one. But you still enjoy it. To give you a sense of this, the demon has houseplants.
Oh boy.
And he has put the fear of himself into his houseplants.
Oh, that's so great. And the way so they narrate it, right? Yes. And the way they explain it is ridiculous because they said something to the extent of, you know, one day he heard about people talking to their plants. And so he took it to an extreme. Yes. So he literally, like, how he relieves his stress, and this is David Tennant.
Yes.
Is he waters his plants, he takes care of his plants, and he gives them a hard time. He curses them out. And essentially, the argument is that his garden is beautiful because they're afraid of him.
Yes.
Because if they don't grow, he will
put them in the garbage.
Put them in the garbage and shout after them. And so when he's around and watering them, you actually see the leaves tremble.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
And like he doesn't, like when Douglas says don't grow, he means if there is a single spot on a leaf, he then takes action. And it's there's a point where they release the hellhound, and it is a big, significant part of the show.
Yeah.
And then how they continuously make fun of this entire premise is fantastic. John Hamm is in it.
Yes, he is.
What you appreciate very quickly is that both the heaven and hell side is just overflowing with ineptitude. They're just not good at their jobs. And it is never not funny. Because these two are the only people, are the only one on either side that enjoys humanity. And so they don't want to see the apocalypse. Mm-hmm. And so they're actively working together to prevent both sides from actually triggering the apocalypse. And the show is just, it's so weird that I think you'll know immediately whether this is a show for you. So I'm not sure if this TV show is good. I just know I'm going to, I'm just praying it gets a season two.
Me too. I have a feeling that they've, because of the extent to which they went through this story and they've gotten a full through line, mm-hmm. I feel like they've finished the book because this is based on a Neil Gaiman book, mm-hmm. right? So I'm not sure if they'll ever do a season two, but I really want them to.
Really want it. Like, the ending isn't strong, but it doesn't matter. At all?
I mean, the ending's dumb enough to... Yeah, it has a certain strength to it.
Right, no. So for me and you...
Yeah.
It... What we enjoy is just how dumb yes. that ending is. But I... It is not that the overarching story is the thing that will... Like, that will keep you in it.
Yeah.
It is just the relationship these two have on screen. That's exactly and the shenanigans that they get up to.
Yeah.
That you're just like, I can't.
And that's why, that's the one thing that gives me hope for a second season. Because you can build a show around those two people, right? You can You can create another scenario in the future, in the past, in whenever. Where essentially they have to overwatch or oversee something and shenanigans ensue, right? That's all you really need. You really need some to create a situation that they can fuck up for 10 episodes.
Listen, like, I'm going to give away like a couple jokes from the first couple because the latter episodes really build on the first couple episodes. Mm-hmm. But there's a Let There Be Light bit. It's pretty good. When they hit the girl who has the book and she falls in the woods and he's like, let there be light.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah, he's, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's also a secret society of nuns that worship the devil, which is pretty good. Mm-hmm. The show is fun.
It's great.
It's real fun.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's good. What else have I seen? Let me just check real quick. I was so happy to talk about.
Should I tell you guys that I watched The Chef again?
No.
No?
Oh,
okay.
Right.
Cool. Oh, have you watched that show? Is that what this is?
No. Oh, no, okay. Absolutely not.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
I refuse. I didn't like The Chef. I saw Brightburn.
Oh yeah, you said that. Mm. I'm upset with you.
I had to watch it through nefarious means because I live in Jamaica and Carib is Carib.
Oh, look, Brightburn is on Carib.
Andrew Robinson.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for giving me confidence to go watch this movie. Because there was always the fear that this movie was going to be trash. But what this movie is, and it is what I hoped. They said, Damon, did you like, we need to talk about Kevin? And I said,
sorry, what?
Yes, please. And I said, what if Superman was an asshole? And I said, I'd like to see that. And then they put those two together. And it shouldn't have happened. I'm very happy that it did. You know how the first time you saw Deadpool on film, it was the worst thing in the world? That is what this movie could have turned out to be. But instead, it's what the second Deadpool movie is. Exactly what it needed to be. You watch it and he starts out It is the Superman story, so you know all of the bit parts. And the kid is a good kid. Like, genuine and nice and happy. And the, hasn't started exhibiting any powers. Is a nerd, is being treated like that. Has like one person that likes him at the school. And he develops a crush on her. Like, all of the start of this movie, you're just like, all right, what happens? And then it is the thing that no one talks about in the Superman movies, where there's a ship that he lands in that you assume would have some kind of influence over him. Except in this one, the ship is just like, we sent you here to kill everyone. And then it starts. And the thing that is truly enjoyable is watching it slowly take him over and then watching him slowly embrace it. So he knows how people look at him. And then he's slowly like embracing the darkness inside of him. And then the movie just goes. And it does all of the things that you're just like, yeah, if Superman were to do this, then he'd wreak havoc. And it's so good. Don't you stupid fucking costume. Like, it's every part of it. The ending, I love this movie so much that when the movie ended, I went online to see what people were saying. Because I was just like, oh, everyone must love this movie. And saw that there were people who were genuinely disappointed, especially with the ending of this movie. And I don't know what those people wanted. I'm not exactly sure what they thought this movie was. Because for this movie to make good on the premise, there's only really one ending. But there's people who didn't like it, and I don't get it. But the action is good without being too, like, because he doesn't have a super villain, there's no real bombast to the action, because it's just, like, the only all-powerful being is a 12-year-old boy who's the devil with Superman's powers. And unlike Greta, once he gets his powers, there's a tangible sense that everybody is in a bad way. The first real incident involves a fluorescent light bulb that breaks, and it is terrifying. From that point on, you're just like, this move, everything that he represented before this point is out the window. And like the thing that is really, really good about this movie is that you feel dread and fear for literally every person in this movie that is not Superman. The Brightburn thing, you find out what that means, and you find out what the symbol means, and it's kind of dumb, but I think they knew that and they enjoyed it. And so
I think they were just looking a walk around to never have to say Superman.
Yeah, and so you kind of appreciate the lengths they went through to get there, but I really, really... And I didn't get to watch it properly, but in the most deaf,
in the Yasin Bay,
but boy.
So there are two things I'll mention. Number one, I think my favorite part in this movie has to do when the father has the sex talk with him.
Oh my God, it's so good.
And the child is like, right now? He's like, no, not
it's
right
like,
now.
It's like, listen. No, not what? Yeah, the sex talk is... It feels genuine. And then you see like the confusion on both the son's face and the father's face. Especially when the son is just like, cause he's like, oh, you'll have these feelings and it's, you know, it's okay to act on these feelings. And he's like, no. And he's like, no. absolutely not. Yeah, that is really good.
On a side, I don't know if you've read this, but I've recently caught up with this and there's one piece in it that really reminds me of Brightburn. There's this comic book called Mr. Miracle. I don't know if you've checked this one out yet, Damien.
Nope.
And it's this big DC thing and it's a short running series. It's like one volume and it's done. There's this one bit in it where the guy keeps telling this story about a child who is like in grade school and they're doing like activities. They're like telling the children to draw something and the teacher's walking around and stops at this child and asks the child like, what is it you're drawing? And he looks up and he says, God. And the woman says, silly, nobody knows what the face of God looks like. And he's like, yeah, until now. And something about that just reminded me of Brightburn, talking about Brightburn again. But yeah, Mr. Miracle, really good comic book. Go read it.
Hard pass. No more comic book. It's from Douglas took off his headset. Are you what? Are you reading Mr. Miracle?
Mr. Miracle?
Mm-hmm.
If that's what I think it is, I actually bought one of those volumes of Mr. Miracle, mm-hmm. and lasted maybe 6 pages and said, forget that.
Sounds about right.
Mr. Miracle is great. We both got problems, he never can find it here. Under the bridge, I wrote some shit to stay afloat and paint a picture raw like the first coats. And my old man a note to keep his phone. My little cousin note that she checks her homegrown. Travel to a place sweeter than home. Listening to Nina Simone, repeat the song. Set the sky, I'm keeping my palms facing the east. Actions, facing the beast, embracing the streets. My guy caught a case because he beat his lady down. It's too dire, that ain't the way we laid it down. Souls get found and lost at the roads they cross. Many paid dues, but few knew the cost. I ran through the moss like Randy, touching down with God, close friends and family. Recognize the voice in the wilderness. Common sense 92 and I'm still in this. Time traveling, time to hell. I'm what I learned to plan. Jealousy, money, and pride can burn a man. Some walk, but never learn to stand still. Afraid to expand when they fail. I'm dealing with wakes, marriages, ATMs, Ericsson. Loud niggas that whisper carelessness. If we living in revelation, why should the people of the sun have to run? Talk to Esau in a year.